Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Thin Line Believers. What a great last couple episodes Adam brought to us with guests Seth Baker and Ben Corson. I want to again thank Seth and Ben for taking the time to join us and be a part of our outreach and ministry. Keeping in line with having guests join us on the podcast, I am super happy and honored to have today's guests join us. Brandon Young is a longtime friend of mine and a fellow Christ follower. I've known Brandon for probably going on 25 years now, I would say, pretty close. Yep. And our paths paralleled each other in so many ways. After high school, Brandon entered the Army, while I began a path that would take me to law enforcement. So, Brandon, would you introduce yourself just briefly and take a few minutes just to tell us a little bit about you and kind of your walk and your path?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me, Steve. And as you said, hello, everybody. As Steve said, we've known each other for a really long time. Steve is the kind of longest standing friend that I've known. We did high school together, and that was interesting. And so, as you said, we tried to stay out of trouble, and in doing so, got into trouble, but not too much trouble. Right after high school, I joined the Army, and after completing all the prerequisites, I was assigned to the 2nd Ranger Battalion, which is a special operations unit designed to conduct direct action missions on behalf of our, you know, country and in the global war on terror and whatnot. I would spend 9 years straight in the 75th Ranger Regiment. I've conducted 4 combat rotations to Afghanistan. I was in the Middle East within about 10 days of 9/11, and at that point in time, I was a staff sergeant at the helm of a 9-man Ranger assault squad. And so I got out of the military in 2009, predominantly because I very desperately wanted to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children, and I just was not able to provide that to them while I was still in service. And so since then, the last about 10 years, I have had a career in the medical sales profession and then switched over to the nonprofit world, where I help provide some executive leadership and partnership building for a national organization called Team Red, White, and Blue, which helps veterans reconnect to their community. And then now I help traumatized and abused children reconnect to their community here at the Tennyson Center for Children in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, and from what I've heard and what I've read, Tennyson does some amazing things with those kids and just the resources that they provide and all that. So if you guys and gals haven't heard of them, look them up. They do some amazing things there. So on top of that, Brandon is a writer on the side and has contributed kind of on and off, right, Brandon, to the Havoc Journal?
Yeah, so I've done quite a bit of writing with the Havoc Journal and done some other contributions in different online places. I was very honored to be a participant in a book called Violence of Action, The Untold Stories of the 75th Ranger Regiment in the Global War on Terror, which captures the first 10 years of the 75th Ranger Regiment's operations in the Middle East and whatnot. So I was one of about 40 different authors that contributed to that. And I've also done, various speaking and whatnot, just, talking with folks such as veterans and law enforcement who are kind of operating on the, periphery of our communities while still mm-hmm. in the community and trying to just share what's always been on my heart in terms of, you know, the whole prospect of coming home or, mm-hmm. you know, continuing and reconnecting with your community post-service or even during service.
Mm-hmm. Just that time when you're at home and you're, you know, not abroad is pretty much what you're saying, right?
Well, and I would say not only that, but you know, home is not just a location, right? It's a mm-hmm. it's a mindset. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. And I think that when we do things like serve our country in whatever capacity, whether it is serving your community in local law enforcement or whether it is national law enforcement or whether it's the military and deploying overseas or even not deploying, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You know, the connection of arms, the profession of arms, you know, serving and being willing to put yourself out there to protect others has, you know, a certain degree of you know, mindset that goes into it, and that can be really tough to switch that on and switch that off, so to speak. And most of us, you know, when we really kind of, you know, shed all the bravado and get down to it, we find that, you know, it doesn't actually work that way. You don't actually just turn it on and turn it off, mm-hmm. You know, because we're human beings. And so when I think about, you know, connecting to community and connecting to home and coming home, I there's a lot of, you know, tones that have to do with, you know, breaking down isolation and finding out how do I reconnect with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So it just happens that a couple of days ago, I was just scrolling through my Instagram feed and Havoc Journal came across, and you know, I follow it. And if you don't, there's some really good stuff on there. But I started reading one of the posts and I got to the end of it. And, you know, I see that Brandon is the guy who wrote it, and it really hit with me even before I knew that it was a friend of mine that wrote it. But there was a section of it that really, really spoke to me. I just found that it was so raw with emotion and vulnerability in such a way, you know, that it elicited some emotions in me just with law enforcement and, you know, the kind of guys that we are, you know, both in law enforcement, military, just that type A, you know, that high drive, that, I guess, machismo, for lack of a better word, that it gets carried with that. So if you're good with it, Brandon, I'd like to kind of dissect a portion of that article that I read and that you wrote and get your point of view, you know, just have an open discussion about it and kind of how it applies to not only law enforcement and military, but how it can apply to us as Christians as well.
I'd love to.
Okay. Let's do it. So a portion of it, I'm just going to read it word for word. And these are Brandon's words, but I'm going to read them out loud and then we'll kind of get into them. So this portion of it says, "I think we may be ashamed of our humanity and the emotions we wrestle with today, days, months, and years after living a life of abandon. We stay in our, quote, box, end quote, after service, wear our unit swag, grow our beards long, tattoo our units on our bodies," I certainly did, Brandon, "and generally live with an attitude appropriate to when our job required us to be strong in austere environments on the periphery of society." I mean, just what that speaks to on your side of things, Brandon, if you'd touch on that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I can remember being in Ranger Indoctrination Program, which is the assessment and selection program. And I remember it was, you know, this is 1998, and I'm an 18-year-old kid, you know, I don't know, first time away from home. And, you know, what you learn in all of those environments and training is that, you know, you are expected to be indomitable. You're expected to operate at a very high level in a zero defect environment, because you learn and you know it starts in our training, and then it continues, you know, year after year after year, rotation after rotation after rotation, patrol after patrol, if I can take the liberty to reach out to, you know, gentlemen like you, which, I mean, we've been having this conversation for 25 years, so I can make that stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, you learn to armor up, and mm-hmm. nobody ever teaches us how to take that armor off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that what a lot of us go through is, you know, this feeling of failure, quite frankly, is where it starts. Because when you start feeling these emotions, you know, for example, for me, like, I had gotten out of the military after, you know, 11 years. I was with the same guys for almost a decade, literally the same exact guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I stepped away and I kind of cut my player card, and I just had a total loss of identity, not really knowing who it is I was. And I was desperately trying to, you know, figure out how to connect with my family, albeit having zero good reference points from my childhood because I had a pretty violent and abusive childhood. Mm-hmm. And so it just seems like failure after failure after failure because I can't figure it out. I can't figure out how to, you know, communicate with my wife. I can't figure out how to communicate with my children. And when you're conditioned to understand that, you know, failure equates to death, because it mm-hmm. does in mm-hmm. those environments,
right?
That's a zero defect environment. And when you've done that, you know, for a decade plus,
right,
it's really hard to understand how to not do that. In fact, we don't know how to not do that. And so that's when, you know, failure is the starting point. And, you know, that's when you start taking on this unhealthy shame. And, you know, I'll share with the audience, like, I did not grow up with faith in my life. I did not grow up with, you know, with Christ in my life. I actually am Jewish by birth, and I grew up in a home where faith was never really talked about. God wasn't really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And what was taught, though, is that Christians are the scum of the earth. And when my dad was around, he would actually pay me to beat up Christian kids. And so, you know, I think, you know, fast forward it, you know, my wife and I both gave our lives to Christ 6.5 years ago, which has, you know, completely changed everything. You know, what one of the things that I kind of embrace and we all understand is, you know, sin is inevitable, but shame is optional.
Mm-hmm.
And when I contemplate on things like this, you know, I think we too often hold on to this feeling of shame that's born out of this perceived feeling of failure, when in reality, we just, you know, we don't really know how to function in these mm-hmm. kind of environments. And that's where, you know, I see a lot of, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters out there, they, you know, they really perpetuate the isolation from their community by, you know, rocking their beards and everything. Not that, I mean, hey, if you like to rock a beard, go for it. I mean, I don't because it's too scratchy for me. But, you know, I mean, you see a lot of guys that, you know, really, you can see them from a distance and you're kind of like, man, you're just like, you're really holding on. And I get it. I really do get it. And I think that, you know, both our faith calls us to be in community. And candidly, our nation needs, you know, people like you, people like me, and most of the listeners here, the kind of people who have the kind of leadership and experience and propensity for service that are breathing life into their community every single day, if we can break down that feeling of you know, shame that is born of unrealistic expectations and exacerbated by the isolation of feeling like you don't belong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and do you think that piece that's missing, I mean, for me, I can speak for myself, and I think I can speak for you in this, that piece that was missing throughout all of that was Christ.
Yeah, I mean, for me, for sure, you know,
yeah.
I think that, you know, it's interesting. One day I was doing a Team Red, White, and Blue. We would do 50,000 events across America every day. And it was really interesting. I was on a hike one day with a fellow veteran. He said, wow, man, like Team Red, White, and Blue is, you know, really just changed your life, huh? And I stopped and I looked at him. I said, no, Jesus did. But everything that we're doing here is fantastic. And everything
right.
that we're doing here really circles back to, you know, the most simple commandment and of our new covenant that I can follow, which is love others.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
love others as I have loved you. I can latch on to that, and I can understand that. So for sure, for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like, I mean, going back to that piece of the article, that we let our jobs, whether it's, you know, ranger, officer, firefighter, paramedic, I mean, we've got a lot of different careers that we reach with this podcast to include those. We let those become our identity rather than our first identity being a Christian and allowing those to be our second, right? Or even our third or our fourth, you know, depending on kind of where we are in our lives. You know, I mean, you look at Hebrews chapter 6, you know, verse 10, you know, and it just kind of speaks to the fact of us being that light and showing God's love in the service that we do, you know, where he said, you know, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them, right? But I think that love needs to come through with shining Christ through us while we do it, you know, and I think that can set you apart even further, you know, in the military, in the police work for sure. I can tell you from my side, it's not easy to have in law enforcement to have that be the forefront of your life, you know, amongst those type A personalities, right, that are so macho and just don't want to be vulnerable. Was there any, you know, of those types of people, just the outward Christian, that was kind of their persona ahead of everything else in the military that you ever really came across?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I look at my life in the rearview mirror, I can see a number of, you know, people that God had put into my life that were strong believers and who, you know, who shared, you know, the gospel, shared Christ with me. You know, I'll tell you this one, you know, story is that in 2006, I was able to compete in something called the Best Ranger Competition, which is, you know, basically it's kind of like the Ironman on steroids. It's 60 miles in 60 hours, but it's, you know, ruck marching, it's orienteering, it's loss of sleep, it's shooting, it's jumping out of helicopters, all this different kind of, you know, jazz. And I trained up for that for 3 months, and my training partner, another ranger named Jeremiah, you know, I will never forget long nights out, you know, in the backwoods of Fort Benning, Georgia, under a blanket of stars with, you know, us just talking and him just sharing, you know, his faith in Christ with me. And, you know, for me, and especially, you know, speaking into the environment that I was in at that point in time and that, you know, you're in right now and that many of the people listening to, you know, this podcast are in right now. Like I don't want to, let's not downplay this. You know, what you're doing is very difficult and you are walking into darkness, you know, very, very much, very frequently. I mean, it is the dominion of darkness. And one of the life verses that I've really kind of held on to is, you know, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. And even in an environment as violent and lethal as the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is at the tip of the spear, you know, for our nation's, you know, special operations missions, you would have guys, you know, believers like Jeremiah, you know, who would shine that light of Christ in that darkness, in those dark times. And, you know, we can never forget that, you know, as we kind of walk through these different situations, you know, these, so to speak, valleys of the shadow of death, because God is with us, you know, as we know, the Psalms remind us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a little more of your article I wanted to touch on, but there was one part of it I really wanted to get to because I think it's important. In a portion of it, you talk about emotion as a human function and that you can learn how to compartmentalize it and to ignore it, but it will not go away. I mean, it doesn't just go away.
I know as police officers and military, we have to compartmentalize things to push on. But there does come that time, whether it's when you're still in the service or afterwards, that some of those compartments may overflow and may perk back up with some of the things that you've seen, that you've done, that you've experienced, and lead to some dark and deep times for some people. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk, just hit a little bit about how you were able to maybe manage those, just to give another point of view into this for some of these guys and gals that are listening?
Sure. In which component, in terms of how was I able to manage the compartmentalization at the time?
At the time, and you know, in the end, when some of those things kind of came back up within you.
So I think that at the time, you know, what you learn to do is basically take your fears, because they actually exist, even though a lot of us, you know, don't want that to be the truth. You know, you take your fears and you basically jam them away into a box, or, you know, you put them out of your mind, or you ignore them because you focus on execution. You focus on doing your job. You know, I've spoken to thousands upon thousands of service members, law enforcement, first responders, fire, it doesn't matter, you know, people who are of service, and it's really all the same, is, you know, you, and the thing that I hear every single time, no matter what, is I'm just doing my job. Doing my job. I get it. You know, I'm just doing my job, and you are. And it's really amazing. And yet, you know, what we find though is that, you know, those emotions are going to be, you know, dealt with. It's in your body. We do a lot of work with, obviously, as I said, children who have been traumatized. Many of the kids that we're working with, you know, 25% of them have PTSD, which is twice the rate of occurrence of, you know, service members that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan right now. And these children are 11, 12, 13 years old. And, you know, trauma is in your body. You know, it is actually inside of you. So it's not going to go anywhere. And I remember in 2002, after our second rotation, or maybe it was 03, after our second rotation, which was a little bit of a tough one, I remember sitting with the squad and just kind of sharing and saying, like, yeah, I don't feel like normal right now. Things feel a little bit weird for you guys? And everyone, you know, and I was the squad leader, and I think it gave people the freedom to actually, you know, tell the truth, like I, you know, write about in this article, just like tell the damn truth. And, you know, like one of the things that we would say all the time is, we will all pay for this.
Yeah,
we will all pay for this eventually. And I did. So the way that I dealt with it afterwards is, to be honest, Steve, I didn't. I tried to use the same tactics and techniques that worked for me when I was, you know, in a bird flaring on target in Afghanistan. And it just kept coming back and it didn't work. And I, you know, would go to the VA for, you know, the years after service, and I would lie to them and tell them everything was fine. I'm fine. Right. I don't need anything. Why? Well, because that's the culture that I had come from. I was supposed to be indomitable, remember?
Right. Yep.
And so, you know, the way that what has changed in all of that, you know, I think about, you know, in Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, which is so critical, I think, for our healing and moving on, which is, you know, letting go of the past, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think all the time, one of the other verses that really hits me in the heart is, you know, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Mm-hmm. And, And it is the concept, you know, that we can hold on to, is that understanding, you know, that God's word is true, and, you know, and Christ's words are true. And when I say we will all pay for this eventually, the fact of the matter is that we can never pay for what we have done and what we have experienced and what has been done to us, but Jesus can.
Yeah.
And until I, you know, in my journey, you know, that's what I was saying earlier, like, you know, Christ saved me. You know, the moment that I stopped putting my faith in myself, you know, this false, you know, idol, so to speak, that I had built up, that, you know, I'm Sergeant First Class Brandon Young. I'm a freaking U.S. Army Ranger. I'm going to figure it out. You know, like, you can't figure your way out of this.
Right.
And you can't do it alone. And guess what? Like, the enemy is real and relentless.
Absolutely.
And Jesus is relentless and almighty. And so I'm going with that guy. And that's the kind of direction, you know, that really was a change for me. And, you know, a couple years after I had given my life to Christ, and really gone on this healing journey, I will tell you, this was, I don't know, six, seven years after I had separated from service, and basically like walked away from getting any kind of care or help or anything. You know, 6-7 years after I left the service, and, you know, a couple years after I gave my life to Jesus, I walked back into the VA and I told them the truth. And I told them, like, I am struggling. You know, I'm terrified that I'm going to lose my family. I can't stop myself from this rage that I feel. I am suspicious of people. I'm hypervigilant. I can't remember the last time that I slept all the way through the night. I can't turn the brain off. I can't stop processing. I can't stop thinking about, you know, things from the past. And, you know, I think it was, you know, a really beautiful, you know, journey that, you know, I had already been on with Christ, and I continue to be on, because it's not a destination. But I was very, you know, blessed to find, you know, a safe place where people were ready to say, like, no, we get it. Let's do something about it.
Right.
You know, like, we can help you. And so, yeah, so I would just encourage anybody, you know, I have personally found such amazing healing, you know, putting Christ at the center of my life. I have an amazing community of believers, you know, around me, within our church and our, you know, small groups that we participate in. And, you know, seek things that you know are going to, you know, help you in your healing journey. Like, for me, yoga has been a huge practice for me.
And if you knew Brandon from back when, that, you know, that's kind of shocking to me to see Brandon doing yoga. So,
yeah, well, I mean, that's the point, right? I tell people all the time, you know, if you would have met me 10 years ago, you wouldn't have met me 10 years ago. If you'd have met me 20 years ago, you really wouldn't have met me. And, you know, you're the only person that I really talked to anymore who knew me 25 years ago. And so, you know, you can bet I wasn't talking about Jesus then.
No, you weren't. I can vouch for that, but I'm happy you are now, brother. So,
as am I.
I guess kind of in closing, just with this last piece, you know, if there's anything you guys and gals are going through, that we can help you with, or that we can get you resources for. Me and Adam have a bunch of those, you know, being on trauma team for our departments and those kind of things. Ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and seek out that help. If you've got these things brewing in you that you just cannot control, you know, we don't need to lose any more people that are amazing people because they don't ask for help, is what I'm getting to. So, in closing, I'll hit on Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It states that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So find that person that can help you up, whether that's me, whether that's Adam,
you know, whoever that may be for you, and ask for that help so that, that you don't fall, and that we can help you up and be there for you and direct you where you need to go. So with that, Brandon, I appreciate you being here and your wisdom and your lifelong friendship. And, yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to speak some knowledge and some wisdom into some people that need to hear it.
Well, it's an honor. I appreciate it. Everybody out there, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you do to protect our communities, protect our country. We are all absolutely, you know, appreciative of it. And I hope we do it again, Steve.
Sounds good. We will for sure. So for Finland Believers, we will talk to you again next week. And if you have any prayer requests or any concerns or topic suggestions, please shoot me or Adam an email or a message, and we will chat with you soon. Bye.